You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Making sure I got all my Moynihan ducks in a row.
I'm glad you do because I don't.
Of course not.
I just, simple request, and next thing you know, people were cussing me out. I have no idea what happened.
Well, Mike, let's hear your side of the story now. What happened?
You can't believe his side of the story.
Brian requested the engineer, and I said, what do you need him for? Because usually they ask, and I want to help aid you in whatever you need to get done. And then he cursed me and said, why would you ask something like that and use the curse word at me?
Okay.
Huh?
Is that what happened?
No.
Okay. And so what happened?
Couldn't be further from the truth. I just asked him to call Martin for me, and he started cursing.
Okay.
Yeah, what?
That's exactly what he said.
Every time I call these guys, they go, what does he need help with? So I'm just trying to speed up the process for you.
It sounds like he's got a point. It does.
What?
He's trying to help. They have different engineers back there for different things. They
do. What?
Martin is a guy who deals with more of the board stuff, the sound stuff, ISDN things, the whatever that other guy is. Who's that other guy? Shorter guy, older guy.
Jim Stagnito.
Jim Stagnito.
That's my dog, Jim.
Jim Stagnito's
with the glasses,
more,
little short guy, yeah.
Stagnito's more of the internet guy. So if he had an issue with that, then Stagnito would come. So there's just a couple of different. That's all he's asking, man. You know? Be so angry all the time. That's all he's asking.
You fat bastard.
I never said that about you. This is what I want, Mike. I want to contribute to Martin's kids' chocolate fund. Okay?
So, oh, you nasty you bastard.
That's what this was about. You just wanted to help out.
I just
out
wanted to give to the kids, man.
Wow.
And Mikey B had to curse me out.
Well,
chocolatey. Goodness!
Mm-hmm. Now, you asked for Martin specifically? Or you just asked for an engineer?
I asked for Martin.
Okay. So that's
happy
so,
now?
Yeah, you know what?
You happy now?
Brian's right about
can't
this
can't be a do-gooder around here.
Brian's right about
you
it.
If can't he asked be for, a damn do-gooder at CBS Sports Radio.
If he asked for Martin specifically, you should have gotten him Martin, I think.
I still needed to know.
You don't need to know a damn thing!
See, you do
I'm
yell.
Trying to be a do-gooder, and you're not helping.
Go get Martin for him, will you, Mike? Thank Stop you. Being such a pain in the ass.
Thank you. You need to take that to Scotland or somewhere, okay?
How many bars do you want to buy?
Don't ask me another question, boy. I swear I don't know. Let me see what I got in my slush fund over here.
Oh, here we go.
I may not have
all singles.
Anything. I may.
They are a dollar, so this is perfect.
I think I used them.
Oh, did you? Where?
I haven't replenished. Where? Oh, see? No, I don't have a lot.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I only have. Oh, no, I got some more. I got some more. Oh, we're going to help the kids out today, baby. Oh, yeah. Come see Uncle BJ. That's so funny. Fire.
Where was that's this? The same thing he says walking into the Wiggle.
Come see daddy, BJ. Oh. Come see daddy.
Like, where would this dollar bill in Brian's bag go? To help the kids?
Always to help the babies.
Or to...
I had some nasty chocolate last night. I bought this dark chocolate. I love Trader Joe's, but I bought this particular chocolate. It may have been too dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh, gross.
Way too dark.
Yeah, too dark.
Mm-hmm. So Tony Romo, who is now doing color analysis for CBS next to Jim Nance.
Speaking of being too dark, yep.
It's what? How does that make any sense?
You just go with it.
Okay. So he took Phil Simms' job. Phil Simms on the NFL Today. It was a big deal. Tony Romo.
Great. God, I love that show now.
Tony Romo, of course, goes straight for the playing field, the number one color job. So, you know, some people had a problem with that. Didn't work his way up. So everybody was listening, and also the CBS folks were trying to temper everybody's expectations for Tony because he hadn't done a lot of this yet. So everybody's kind of curious to see where he was at. Now, one thing he's been exceptionally good at is calling what the play is going to be pre-snap for certain teams. For example, they did New England, New Orleans last week down in New Orleans, and you know, there was a basically, I don't know what you want to call it, a corner route in the end zone that Tony Romo called. He said, watch this.
Watch the inside receiver.
Right. And that happened. Yeah. In week one, he did the same thing. He was able to call plays before it happened. So there's actually people who are upset about this. In the world of TV spoilers, there are people upset. It's like someone talking about the Game of Thrones finale before everybody got to watch it. I don't want to know what the play is going to be before it happens. I want to be surprised. And why anybody would use that analogy of a TV spoiler to what Tony Romo is doing is just a joke. Because what Tony Romo is telling you is to what to look for on the play,
right,
which enhances your viewing experience. Tony Romo doesn't know the result of the play, and he's spoiling that for you. He's not going to say, hey, guess what, guys? Touchdown pass right here. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He's just saying, look for this because this particular formation usually tells you this, which I think is nice when you're watching a broadcast as opposed to the same old drivel that you get in the cliches and whatever.
And what do you usually hear the play-by-play announcer asking his cohort there in the booth? Hey, what do you think's going to happen here? What do you think they should call here? What do you see here? Prior to the snap. And then after the snap, you break down what you just saw and why what you just saw occurred. So it's interesting, though, we're discussing this because I was sitting there thinking the same thing someone was. Okay, maybe it's enough of you telling me what's coming. Enough foreshadowing, okay? I could see how it could drive people nuts because it becomes overkill. I get that, but that's the job of the color analyst.
Does it become overkill, though? Like I
could see that become like, okay, you're too damn smart. It's like working with you. You're too damn smart.
No, that's
okay,
not.
Okay, enough is enough.
That's too all kind. Right? It's not true.
It is so true.
No, I don't see it that way at all. Because now, if he for some reason knew exactly what, like he was a clairvoyant or whatever, then that would be a different
Miss
story.
Miss Cleo or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah. If he was that, then it would be a different story.
I was sitting there thinking, I need to take Tony Romo to Vegas.
Yeah, there's still things he's got to get better at, though. Like, for example, during the Gronk thing, he jumped the gun so much on that injury.
Yeah.
He's sitting there like, oh, it's going to be a back. It's bad. I know that look. That look on his face. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a back injury and a back injury. I know, guys, I've had back injuries.
Well, every injury.
Yeah, I know. So I was like, well, can we relax for a second? I mean, you can tell the look on his face if he's got a back injury. Now, if he would have been right about that, it would have been like, okay, this guy's good.
Yeah.
But
he could have just been constipated or something. Just, I know it was a back injury.
Let's wait a
backed
little.
Up.
Like, let's wait a little bit here. So, and he also was, like, making noises during the plays, too. He's getting, like, overly excited. Mm-hmm. You hear him in the background, like, wow! Like, all right. So there's a couple of things. He's rough around the edges, but he has been very, very good with breaking the game down. And it's been fun. I mean, I definitely listen more to him. There's a lot of guys that are just background noise. I've been listening more to him because it's different, and you feel like you can learn something. Not that I'm dying to learn something during the games. It's more about you know, paying attention to storylines, fantasy football, whatever. But it's interesting enough to me to listen to him. He definitely stands out. And I could see him a couple of years down the road really refining his craft, you know, and being one of the best.
Right, right. For a guy just now getting his feet wet in his business, so far so good, 2 weeks in. And I don't understand why anyone would be upset with Tony Romo going straight to the top. If someone wants to give you that job, and there have been others who have gone straight to the top because of the on the strength of their name, and they didn't fare so well. That's just how the world works. You want that shiny object at the top of your broadcast? Fine. Now let's see if they can hold or maintain a hold on it, or if they're going to be a flop. So far, so good for him.
Yep, and Phil Simms, very, very lucky to be in the studio working the voice of a generation, Nate Burleson. We got to cut that and play that again. I think Nate does a great job. I think he's been tremendous. But that whole voice of a generation thing is like, what are you, Bob Dylan? You know,
yeah, that was a little deep there. Yeah,
it certainly was. So he also, something else Tony Romo said I thought was interesting was that Bill Belichick, just in garbage time, calls a bunch of plays. He has a bunch of plays, him and Josh McDaniels, that they don't really ever run. They just do it in garbage time to give the future opponents looks that they have to prepare for that they will never use in a close game.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I thought was, which I can understand, yeah, you're just to confuse your next opponent or opponents down the line. But what I thought was very illuminating was the question I don't know if it was Phil that asked or JB about sitting down in the production meetings with Sean Payton, who he's had a relationship with, who was with the Cowboys when Romo came into the league, and also Bill Belichick, and he'd been warned that, you know, Bill, just like he is at the press conference, it doesn't give you much, and he said it was actually pretty refreshing, the conversation they had in the production meeting. So that gives you a little insight into how he's regarded by others, other coaches in this league. Of course, he's going to have a cozy relationship with Sean Payton. They were on the same squad, but Bill Belichick to come in and share things, interesting.
The great engineer Martin Travers is here. You want to give him the money now? He's waiting in there patiently. You want to give him the money?
I'm trying to help the kids.
Martin, you can come in. Take the money. So it's, let's go.
Martin.
Get this whole thing over with now. All right, here comes Martin Travers. What are you selling? Chocolate bars?
How much are they?
Oh, wow. You're going to get a lot.
How much are they?
Oh, you're going to buy the whole
box. $1 a piece?
You're going to buy the box,
aren't
you?
For the kids? How many kids you got? Don't lie.
Three kids. He's got three kids. Yeah.
You've been...
A lot of sex, Brian's telling you.
They all your kids? Somebody? Mama's baby, daddy's baby?
He said it better be his kids.
How many in this box? I mean, count them.
Yeah, man, why do you have to punish the man before count helping him out?
I want to see if he can count. Just because the engineer don't mean he can count. How many are left?
40?
There's 40 of them? Why don't you just count them out? Follow them. Dude, guess it. Where's Tony Romo when you need him? Tony Romo, look at that box. Say there's 38.
Is this a box of Pandora, by the way? Like Taquio Spike said? Because now you're going to open up a box
of
Pandora.
Why are you fondling the chocolate, man? Be gentle, rough ass.
Well, how much money do you have in your hand, Brian?
Don't worry about that.
Why don't you just count
just
that?
Count
and
how
then...
many? I want all of them.
This transaction is, thank God this is not a drug deal, because the cops would have been here.
Where's Zach Randolph when you need it?
This is just, oh, I thought this would be quick.
Sometimes it is. You can tell he's a novice. Hey, man, you're not going to do good in this business. You should try something else.
Yeah, Martin, do not ever try to sell drugs.
You're going to get everybody busted. Yeah. You're supposed to count before you get there, man.
How much is in that bag? Well, hold on. Let me get my scale. Just a second. Just take it out to the street here. Give me one. Give me 5 minutes.
32. I got $32.
Oh, he's going to buy the whole box.
You tell your baby, Uncle BJ said, be a do-gooder. All right.
The Travers children. It's their lucky day. All right. You done yet?
We need to get that song, Be a Do-Good. I think it was Bing Crosby in that Frank Sinatra movie.
All right. The Wallace transaction is being consummated.
Hey, give me some change, boy.
You're throwing money at Martin like he works at
Turn
titillations.
Around. Turn around. Drop it like it's hot.
You're not allowed to throw money at him as if he is a stripper.
I tell all my...
It's actually 33.
Rake it up.
33.
Oh, yeah, he's trying to scam me, too, like a... That was only one, Dan!
It keeps going up. It's actually, I counted 54. I had an issue with counting in
this
school.
This real money? Is it counterfeit?
All right.
Got to hold up to the
light. Get out of here. All right, enough.
Thank you.
All right, so...
tell all your babies I said congrats.
Here you go.
Thank you very much.
Next door, there's a famous talk show host in the afternoon, Mike Francesa.
Yeah.
A lot of people across the country know who he is.
Yep.
And Mike, at this point in his career, doesn't always get as worked up. But there's certain things that really get him worked up.
Okay.
And then he starts yelling. And when he yells, I think it's great. So this is Mike Francesa on WFAN in New York yesterday. We edited this together because there was some stuff in between, just to give you the feel of him screaming. About James Franklin, who iced a kicker up 56-0 in their win this past week over Georgia Southern. So, at Penn State, of course. So let's listen to Mike Francesa lose his mind over our buddy. It's our pal now, James Franklin.
Yeah,
had him on
a couple
times. So let's listen to what he has to say.
Penn State coach James Franklin called a timeout with his team leading and as Georgia State attempted a field goal with 11 seconds remaining. With his team trailing 56-0, Georgia State kicker Brandon Wright lined up for a 31-yard field goal and a shot to at least get on the scoreboard. But James Franklin wasn't conceding anything. Georgia State snapped the ball and Wright launched a kick through the uprights, but Franklin got a timeout in just under the wire. That is an absolute disgrace. And his stooge tried to alibi around it. And these fans who are happy now that they're winning 56-0 and could give a damn what they did to Georgia State, sit there and make excuses for them. Didn't have a kick block team. He's got to try and block a kick at 56-0. He's a horse's ass for doing that. That's a quote. We had our fourth team on the field. We didn't have a fourth team field goal block. What the heck do you need to block it for? Let the ball go through the uprights, you jerk. So we call timeout to get the second team field goal block in there. What a bunch of garbage that is. He sells you that, he'll sell you anything.
All right, then you can stop it there, Pete. So
I have no problem with what James Franklin did.
What?
None whatsoever.
Why
you're,
not,
you're
though?
A kick-blocking team. You're supposed to try to block the kick. But you just don't lie down out there.
But it's 56-0. What's
so
the point?
So what? You still your job is to block the kick. Go try to block the kick. Well, 56-0, so 2-0.
So you believe him there? He wasn't trying to ice the kicker because he wanted to shut out?
I don't know if he can speak to whether or not he wanted to shut out. And they have a couple shutouts these first three ball games, but you got your kick-block team out there to block a kick. Well, you want to just stand out there and look?
So are you okay? This is the sort of like running up a score, though. It's sort of the same thing, but just opposite.
I am fine. You've got your backups in there. Their job is to block a kick. Go out there and try to block the damn kick.
Yeah. I mean, at 56-0, to me,
it's
almost
100-0.
It's a little... The sportsmanship angle
jerk.
Of that.
Hell with some damn sportsmanship. You're the jerk. The dude is coaching his backups. They're in there. They got a chance to get on tape doing something. Let's see if you've learned the technique we've taught you. If it's 56-0, 100-0, go use your fundamentals and your technique you've been taught. You don't get that many opportunities because you're backups. So go out there and try to block kick.
I said Georgia Southern before it's Georgia State.
Georgia State made
a mistake.
That is an absolute disgrace.
Oh, you are a disgrace. Shut up.
See, I'm kind of with him.
I don't.
You can't call.
Now, if you're saying
you can't call him a horse's ass and a jerk.
If you're trying to preserve a shutout, no, you're getting your boys some reps.
So
they
not
don't get any reps.
So not a horse's ass then.
Hell no, he's not a horse's ass. I want him to be my first coach or the first choice at Texas back when they hired Coach Strong. No problem with Coach Strong, but I thought James Franklin should have been the guy.
I like James
Franklin.
He's
a horse's ass for doing that.
You are a horse's ass.
Stop.
Jeez. A Clydesdale horse at that. They have big asses.
Man,
you jerk.
I'm definitely.
I'm with Coach Franklin.
Yeah, I'm.
Even though he wasn't up on Alabama Penn State rivalry.
I'm not at this point. I'm not. In this particular instance.
It's going to hurt the kids.
No, it's not going to hurt the kids. It's just.
No.
It's unnecessary.
Yeah, okay. You got a kick blocking team. That's their job, to block the damn kick.
Yeah.
Okay. Backups.
You don't need to put them in there then, do you? You leave them.
Well, so we should have just. How about
this? Let them kick it.
Georgia State.
Give them the 3 points.
Georgia State, you go out there.
Give them the 3 points.
With your field goal team, yeah. And we won't even put a team out
there.
Yeah,
we don't. You don't need to.
Yeah, okay.
Or just stay. Whatever. There. Just loiter.
Yeah.
56-0. Yeah. Okay, we got to get home now. Enough. Calling a timeout. We got
they didn't block the kick.
We got to get a post-game show
going. They didn't block it.
We got to get out of here.
Sit there and make excuses for them.
All right. Oh, yeah. You just find something else to be pissed off about.
Coming up
Horse's
next.
Horse's ass.
All right. Try to get
you
to the break.
Shetland pony ass.
Jeez.
Do your thing, Coach Franklin.
Man.
Let us worry about the Shetland pony.
Why
down
are you so angry? I'm telling you.
That's all my right. man, Coach Franklin.
Yeah,
you jerk. My dog. No, you the jerk.
All right, we got to go to break. Stop playing drops. You stop talking. Bobby Moynihan next. Jeez.
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Bobby Moynihan.
Hello.
What's up, Bobby? Good morning.
Nothing much. How are you?
We're doing well. Not as good as you. You've got this show debuting coming up on September 25th. Me, Myself, and I.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting premise because it follows the story of a guy's life at different ages. In 1991 as a 14-year-old, 40-year-old in present day, 65 in 2042. Just seeing that on the sheet kind of like gives me anxiety. But when you're in this stage right now where you're doing promotion for this show, it hasn't debuted yet. I'm sure that there's some sort of previews and ideas that you're going to get of how it's going to go over. Are you filled with incredible debilitating anxiety?
No, I worked at Saturday Night Live. That part of me is dead inside.
But it's got to be a different type of anxiety, right?
Of course. I mean, you want it to be received well, and you want people to like it. Yeah, of course. But from SNL, I'm used to in between dress and air stuff getting cut, sometimes live on air. So I always assume the worst.
Ah, and it works for you, right?
Yeah. When it works out, it's real nice.
Well, De La Soul just called. They want their title back, man. Me, Myself, and I. Great cut, by the way.
See what you did there.
You're up on that. I'm glad to hear that. This seems like a lot of fun. What attracted you to the storyline and everything, or just the show?
I read the script. I loved the writing. I thought it was a really strong script. It's very rare that you get a pilot that you really like. So I loved it, and I jumped on board with it. And then afterwards, after getting on board, we assembled an amazing cast. I feel very, very lucky about the people that I'm working with. They're all great actors. Jaleel White, John Larroquette, Mandel Maughn, Brian Unger, a bunch of really amazingly talented people. So I'm very excited about it.
John Larroquette's a guy that every time I see him, I think of Night Court. That's the only thing. I mean, that show was amazing. So the difference in how you prepare for a show like this is, as opposed to Saturday Night Live, has got to be just a complete 180, right?
Yes, because it's
a live TV sketch. You got to cram it in
cue cards, everything. There's a lot of memorizing and waiting in your trailer for this one.
So what's easier for you?
Oh, this. A million times. A million times easier.
Even though you got used to it 9 years Saturday Night Live and this is totally new?
By leaps and bounds. My first day of work, they were like, hey, we're so sorry, it's a long day. I'm like, I'm used to 49-hour days, man. This is nothing. This is nothing. No, SNL is very, very, very hard to do. Very, very insane schedule. This is cake.
So is it the schedule of SNL? Because I've been on these sets, man. Those are arduous tasks, as Gio was just alluding to, and they're long days. And most of the time you're sitting around doing nothing, just waiting for your moment to be on the set.
SNL, you're always doing something, no matter what. You know, it's just always – it was always – rehearse all day, start shooting something at 2 o'clock in the morning, get done at 7, get up, sleep for an hour, go back and do it again, a lot of that. But Me, Myself, and I is – shockingly easy. Wonderful. I'm enjoying it a great deal.
Well, when I saw that you've got, you know, the young you, the middle-aged you, then the older you, I was thinking Benjamin Button or something like that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So how do you stay into, say, the middle-aged you? You've got to know what the younger you has done, and so how do you stay up on that? And then once you're the older you, you know, how do you...
Well, that's what I love about the show itself is it's kind of just like it's one long timeline and we're just filling in the blanks. So you kind of know where he's at as a kid. You know where he's somewhat ended up as a 40-year-old, and he's not doing so hot. And then when he's 65, he's extremely successful, but you don't know why yet, at least in the pilot. And now we're shooting the episodes, and we're filling in those blanks. But it's a show about, you know, anything could happen. You know, his wife cheats on him in the 40-year-old timeline, and he's not doing very well. But then
I just saw that scene.
Yeah. You seem to have
liked it. Don't call the EMS, folks. Used to be the milkman. Yeah, now it's the EMS.
Now it's the EMT, yeah.
Gio and Jones and Bobby Moynihan, me, myself, and I, starting on the 25th of September, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. On CBS. Are you prepared to answer questions about Saturday Night Live for the rest of your life? Because
yes.
I feel like so many people are so interested with the whole process, that show, especially now, the success in present day. So, I guess it's sort of it's an odd thing. What's interesting to me about it is you talk about all the stress and anxiety that goes into that show, but yet it seems like it's the coolest job in the world, but it comes with so much stuff that could drive you crazy.
Yeah, you go insane for 7 days straight, and then you celebrate at the after party, and then do it all again.
It can crush people, right? I mean, everybody makes it.
It takes a certain type of person to.
What type of person is that?
Crazy, a crazy person. dedication to the show. I mean, like, the show is number one. It's not about you. It's about the show.
Yeah,
I feel like that's one of the main things there.
Did you ever feel like, okay, this skit looks great on paper, but I don't think this is going to...
Oh, a million times, yeah. there's a lot of, oh, this is amazing, this is the funniest thing I've ever written, and then you get it to the table and it bombs, and you're like, well, there goes that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lot of stuff where you go, really? That one made it in? We're going to do this one, huh? Okay.
Now, I've got a lot of respect for you because both of us have overcome the hurdle of chubby, average-looking white guy. Which,
sure.
I wonder where you were going with this.
Which is a tough thing. We always talk about Brian and some of the issues he's had to go through in this country as a black man. But for us, you know, there's certain, you know, you
we
can't get...
We got it kind of easy.
Yeah. Well, it's certain things. But so...
We have no need to complain.
No, of course.
I'm just going to have another cheeseburger and keep my mouth shut.
But do you feel like on TV that you'll get typecast as a certain way because you're the average looking guy? This is the everyday man
really
type of thing.
You're hammering this average looking thing. It's too early in the morning to be
contemplating. You know what it's about. We're the same thing. We got beards. We could lose 30 pounds. I'm just being honest, Bobby, for crying out loud.
I get it.
Why are we going to lie about this? you stay out of this one here.
You're doing all the dirty ones for me.
Yeah. Those ugly, fat pieces of garbage.
You stay out of this. The in-shape athlete.
I love white-on-white crime.
Above-average-sized penis. We don't need you, all right, in this conversation. All right?
Wait, that's an insult. Above-average.
All right, extremely grossly large. All right, we know.
Like
all right,
that,
so typecasting, Bobby. How do you feel about it?
Yeah. Oh, I think it's great. it keeps me working.
So no truth to the rumor that you're going to replace Alexander Skarsgård as the next Tarzan.
Yeah.
Right? That's not gonna happen. Okay.
So when you're shooting this pilot and you guys, you're loving the show, the premise, everything. This is going to knock them dead. Now, how long are you sitting there waiting to get the feedback from network about?
I don't think it takes that long. I feel like now you know right away.
Really?
I'm not positive. I've been in that SNL world for so long. I'm just learning a lot about the sitcom world, but I think you find out pretty soon, within the first couple of weeks. I mean, like the ratings come out, and you find out from there. I can't think about that yet. I'm happy the show's good. I enjoy
right.
it. So,
but on the strength of that pilot, you got to sell it to the network.
Yeah.
Right. And so, any anxiety waiting on them to say, okay, thumbs up, this is a go?
Of course. You know, I feel like it only takes one person to say no. You know. You know what I mean? So who knows? I'm just happy. I'm happy that I'm proud of what we made.
Gio and Jones with Bobby Moynihan. I know sometimes it feels like a new show sometimes doesn't always get the room to grow if things aren't perfect right away. I forget who we had in studio, and we had this conversation Jane Lynch, yeah. Jane Lynch and her new show, and the thing disappeared in like 5 seconds. I'm thinking, that can't
be. Yeah,
it
happens all the time.
That's not fair, though, right? Yeah. Especially with talented people.
Spending millions and millions of dollars and months and months and months of work and then having it all go away.
Right. So, I mean, is that in the back of the heads of the writers and the producers and actors of this, of like, I mean, this could disappear if we don't do it right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm used to that scenario from SNL because I mean, we would be in costume for stuff, and then it would just be like, no, that's cut. We're doing something else. So you never stay precious about anything. But for this, I mean, it's just a lot bigger stakes. If my sketch where I'm a dumb clown gets cut, you know what I mean?
Like,
that's fine. But this thing that's driving my life and the lives of hundreds of other people, yeah, that would be terrible.
So how did you, what was your initial foray into acting, into comedy? And
I was an acting major in school. I did musical theater and stuff when I was a kid, and then I went to University of Connecticut for, I was an acting major there, and then I found Upright Citizens Brigade in New York. Now they have one in L.A., too, a couple in L.A. as well. But yeah, once I found Upright Citizens Brigade, I kind of just stayed there doing improv and sketch comedy, and cut my teeth there, met Amy Poehler and a bunch of people there, and that's how kind of SNL came into the mix.
What was your favorite era, not including the era that you worked on, of SNL? What was your favorite era of the show?
I mean, it changes. Obviously, like, I feel like Lauren always says your favorite cast of SNL was whoever the cast was when you were in high school.
Yeah.
So, like, Farley, for me, like, you know, like, that kind of era, Sandler and those guys, like, that was pretty huge. But I was a big nerd about it, so it was, like, kind of all of them.
Yeah.
Like, Will Ferrell, that whole era, I was kind of there for all of them.
I got a fever.
Yeah.
And when you're there, I mean, how long did it take you for that to be normal? If you're growing up watching it and you got into this business and now you're a part of it.
It never felt normal.
Really?
It never did, no. Even on the last day, it was just like, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you walk in, every Saturday you would walk in and hear that the band playing that music just warming up, and you were just like, yeah, I'm on Saturday Night Live. That's pretty nuts.
Yeah,
it kind of never went away from
so
me.
Do you find yourself now going down this new path, chasing what you had there, the success you had there at Saturday Night Live?
I probably should, but no. Mm-hmm. No, I me, myself, and I is going so well, and I'm enjoying the people there so much, and SNL it's one of those things where it's like, well, how do you top that? You know, how do you, especially with the season they just had, and especially this weekend with all the Emmys, congratulations to everybody who won. I'm very happy and proud of my time there, and I cannot believe that I got to do it, and now I'm on to this thing that this new thing that I love.
September 25th. Me, myself, and I, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on CBS with Bobby Moynihan on Geo and Jones, CBS Sports Radio. You comfortable in show business? Are you comfortable in this business? Because it seems like there's a lot of people who it takes a long time to adjust to having everybody kind of know who you are.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if comfortable is the right word. I enjoy my job.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes think I was a little naive. I just wanted to be on SNL and didn't think of anything after it.
Right.
And all the other stuff that comes with it, that red carpet stuff and all that stuff, I'm not that great at.
But, yeah.
But, you don't appreciate all the free meals and free drinks?
I appreciate it. I just... It's the picture taking. That's the thing that
matters. Right. I'm with you. I hate that.
Know, we're just a bunch of chubby white guys.
Exactly. Average looking chubby white guys.
Embrace it.
Yeah.
Embrace it, right?
Embrace it. You be us and embrace it.
Not the white, but the black chubby guy before.
I find that extremely hard to believe.
At times, yes.
I mean, come on. You could not work out for 3 years.
Yeah,
you still have pecs. It's just the way you are. You're a specimen.
Shut up, man. Just be quiet.
Okay, I won't try the fat part. I'll just try the white part.
You don't know the oppression that we have to deal with.
Oh, really?
You have no idea what we've gone through.
You have no idea what it's like to sit on a deep couch and not be able to get up.
Have a tough time getting up.
It's hard for us.
Right. You ever sweat when the air conditioning was set at 68?
Yes. You're rubbing ice cubes on your forehead.
You ever drop something and think, forget it.
Inadvertent farting. I mean, these are things that...
I see you two are bonding here. Maybe I should just leave.
Trust me. We're just hungry.
That's all it is.
Well, I'm always that. Trust me. I'm in that number for sure.
All right. Best case scenario for a show like this is it goes on for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And then it 100 gets
episodes.
Picked up for syndication.
12 million episodes.
You never have to do anything ever
that
again,
would be
right?
Wonderful.
But isn't that the threshold for syndication? Is it still 100?
I think it's 100 episodes.
100 episodes, yeah.
What's the worst sitcom that's had success?
Wow. I don't know.
There's got to be one in your mind. You have to. You're a guy who's in TV.
Yeah, there has I'm trying to think if it was like, on CBS or not.
It better not have been, right?
No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, like, how the hell? Because, I mean, there's, you know, in this business, we every
don't
business
go there.
You do, how is this guy having
don't
success?
You go there.
I don't know. That's a good question, though.
All right. You do know.
Do you have
a personal opinion more than anything?
Well, but you're an expert in TV, though.
I'm an expert because I've been on it?
Yes, of course. Why not? You know the business. You know the TV business.
So aggressive.
I just want to know.
Welcome to my world, Bobby. Every morning.
I feel like...
I just sit here and take it like
I'm
a man.
I'm sure there is. I just can't think of it right now.
You can't think of it.
We'll talk.
Do you have one?
Yes, I do. I've got
Please
one.
Please don't say me, myself, and I.
No. I've only seen the preview. I've only seen the sizzle reel.
Yes. There you go.
No, I do have one, but I'm not going to say it. So we'll just, leave that
filter.
Alone. We will leave that alone. Yeah. Well, I've learned my lesson from the last time. All right, Poppy. Well, we're rooting for you, man.
Yes,
man,
I appreciate it. This is pretty cool.
This is and it's the premise cool is different, you. which is a good thing. I mean, there's so many shows. I feel like they're bringing back old dumb premises or something that's very, you know, a cop show or a doctor show. It's all of a sudden a comedy. This is a different premise.
Yeah.
It's exciting, and you got some TV veterans in there. And really hope that it does well for
Thanks.
Us.
What do you really... got against cop show? I want to do a cop show.
You should.
I should. I agree. I'm going to do one.
I think you both should.
Write me.
No, I don't want to do a cop.
Good cop, bad cop?
No.
Yeah, I am.
You know who's going to be the bad one, right?
Good cop, chubby white cop.
Yeah, right. Exactly. When we both have gone through a lot. It's, you know, so it would kind of work.
He's sitting in the
cruiser.
That
would be our common ground.
Yeah. I'm chasing the suspect.
Licking the icing off of my fingers.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Be Myself and I, September 25th on CBS. We're coming right back. Thanks to Bobby Moynihan.
Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
If we had a terrible first month of shows together,
right?
We'd still be okay, right? They'd give us some time. We'd work it out. They'd give us some critiques, and we'd work on it.
Yeah.
In that TV world, right, if they come back after 2 weeks of bad ratings and it's not working, they could just can everything.
Right.
So all this, the excitement of getting the job, the working on it, the developing the chemistry with actors and writers and thinking about this thing, then all of a sudden, poof, it's gone, just like that. And that's all I'd be thinking about is this thing's going to disappear.
Okay, I understand that. And it's like being an athlete. You go through all that training camp. You may be drafted. And then, boom, we come in and say, bring in your playbook. So I guess I'm a little bit more used to that stressful world and scenario than you are.
Right, but also I think that there's sometimes because of circumstances more in television. Like it could be a good show that didn't, like, you know, make sense. And if you, for an athlete, let's say you're a good player, but you didn't fit on that roster, someone else is going to pick you up if you're a good player.
True.
But a show like this, if it's a good show, it just doesn't pop for whatever reason and then goes away. No one else is going to.
Well, they may not pick up that particular show, but they may like what you did in that show.
Yeah.
So they call your agent up. Hey, I know that didn't work out for you, but we got something else we want to test run on.
If you need auto parts but can't get to the store just yet, head to O'ReillyAuto.com. No shipping costs, easy returns, and convenient pickup on your schedule. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
Look, there's no doubt it's a stressful industry, and you know that going in. It's similar to this. Not everyone can do what we do. They think they can. But it's stressful, and that's just one of one of the things associated with it. And I think that's also one of the things that draws you to it as well.
Yeah, sure. And I guess if you're good at something and you have confidence in it, then that stuff doesn't affect you all that much.
It's still going to affect you. You're human, but you learn how to deal with it. That's it. And that's why I always say, kids, failure is part of it.
Mm.
Nothing wrong with failure. You learn from that. And you become a better person. Either you learn from it or you don't. And those are the only two choices.
A lot of people making a huge deal out of this Kevin Durant Twitter thing. And I think it's interesting. I definitely do. But because Kevin Durant was so good last year on that team and did everything that he set out to do, I'm less interested in Kevin Durant's Twitter escapades than maybe other people are. Like, when I see someone failing in their career or maybe taking a step back as a player and someone who's too emotional on the court and there's something and then he's losing his mind on Twitter, right, and I'm like, that's a problem. I think Kevin Durant's got a handle on himself. But what he's doing here is a little interesting if you are to read into this and come up with the same conclusions. This is a big story yesterday that it appears that Kevin Durant has secret accounts to defend himself on Twitter, and he forgot to switch back the Twitter, because when you have multiple accounts, you have an opportunity to go in between the accounts, and sometimes people get confused and tweet from one account when they should be tweeting from another.
Is he president?
And he as himself, maybe thinking that he was somebody else, started tweeting a bunch of negative stuff about Billy Donovan and the team. He goes, he didn't like the organization or playing for Billy Donovan. His roster wasn't very good. It was just him and Russ. And he goes, imagine taking Russ off that team, see how bad they were. KD can't win a championship with those cats. And then, you know, these were deleted after that. But, yeah, so, I mean, he's he's just saying... I guess the only issue I have with it is you can't chase down every critic if you're Kevin Durant. And that's probably not a practice he should continue. However, it's whatever he's doing worked for him last year. So if he feels the need to do this, and it's not knocking him off his game, now I'm not around him personally. If it's occupying too much of his time, right, then the people in his life have to tell him relax. But, I mean, if he's happy and he's doing this well on the court, then let him do this.
If this works for him, you're right. Just because it wouldn't ordinarily work for or ideally work for you and I, that's us. For KD, maybe he likes this interaction and he loves going back and forth with people on social media. Obviously, he likes some aspect of it or he wouldn't continue to engage in it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have the time to do it. I don't understand how he has the time to do it, but it's something that it's appealing. And it's amazing how appealing. And if you're going to go to the lengths of having shell Twitter accounts, if you will, I mean, come on, really?
Yeah.
Why? And why do you need that repeated affirmation when you've got a Larry O'Brien trophy on your mantle currently and you got tons of cash in the bank? I don't need any more affirmation. I'm good. I don't need to go back and forth. You can throw sling arrows at me all day long. So what? I'm the one that's laughing to the all the way to the bank. I'm the one that is hoisting a championship trophy. I understand we're still human, and just because we are have it pretty good in life doesn't mean you're necessarily immune to attacks and sure, hurt feelings, but this is ongoing. I just check out and shut all that down and just go revel in the success I'm enjoying currently.
Yeah, no, I definitely. And I understand that take totally. I really do think that, you know, if we're going to judge how he's living his life, we have to really look at him and what he's accomplished and what he accomplished last year. And it doesn't seem like any of that stuff bothered him enough. If anything, it fueled him.
Right. Yeah. So. Didn't impact his play whatsoever, at least not in a negative light. So maybe this is what works for him.
Yeah.
This is his crazy
I couldn't live like that.
I couldn't either.
I mean, that'd be a little rough for me, for sure.
I mean, you want to protect your honor, and I understand that. Every human being would want to, but constantly going back at people on the Twitter, who would do that?
You know, when it comes to some politics, I know a guy.
I used to know a guy.
Yeah,
I used to.
So Kyrie Irving was on First Take yesterday, yep, and Stephen A. Smith asked him, did you contact LeBron when you requested a trade? And he said, no. And then Stephen A. Smith asked, why not? And he goes, why would I have to? Basically, is what he said. So in so many words, he said, I don't respect this man enough to tell him that I don't want to play with him to his face.
Well, I don't know if it doesn't necessarily respect him, but he doesn't owe anyone any explanation other than himself. And yes, that's a teammate, a good teammate, but if that's on your heart and you feel the need that you want to move on, move on. And I'm sure at some point he talked to LeBron, but you don't have to let LeBron know your every move.
And maybe we'll talk more about this yesterday, because it's not his every move. It's one huge move that impacts his future. So, I mean, at least have the courtesy, listen, this is what I'm doing, and you can't change my mind, but I just want to let you know. All right. Thanks to Bobby Moynihan, Takeo Spikes, Mikey B, PDB, Bogish, and Pierno. Talk to you tomorrow. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes.
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day.
And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary, and with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the Battery Doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit autotrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. Auto Trader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.